Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
How dad is your dad? That's a question I want everyone to think about right now. There's a local radio station that runs this bit every year around this time to get us thinking about our dads and to get us thinking about certain characteristics about our dads. So I've got three scenarios I want to run by you right now so you can think about how dad is your dad or how dad are you if you are a dad. When you walk through a store and you find something that has no tag on it, you pick it up and you're like, oh, this means it must be free. I always like that one. I think I'm super clever when I say that. How about around the 31st of October, maybe the 1st of November, or any time you buy your children French fries at a fast food restaurant, you feel the need to train them and teach them about the Canadian tax system. Dads, you know what I'm talking about? In our house, we've come up with the very original name of the dad tax. And I'm just explaining to them, I'm demonstrating to them that as I exchange with goods and services with them, they need to pay me some sort of a tax. I think it's a very sound principle to invest into our children. How dad is your dad? My favorite one, though, is after it's rained, you stand at the back door and you overlook your yard, maybe at the front if you've got a porch or sitting in a chair, and you look intently at your yard like you just planted 20 acres of alfalfa. And you say, boy, we needed that. These are things that dads do. I don't know why. It seems universal. I do them. Maybe you do them. Maybe your dad does them. But there are attributes that we use to describe our fathers. We can include terms like provider or protector or discipliner or grass cutter or plumber or landscape technician or mouse exterminator. These are all things we use. They're a way of describing quickly who they are in our lives, the roles they play. As Pastor Steve explained introduced me, my name is James. I've been going to this church for quite a while. I started attending Calvary in the late 90s when I was in high school, and we actually were meeting in what is now the Schroeder Hall. That was the sanctuary. This building didn't even exist yet. And my wife, at the time my girlfriend, started joining me attending here as well, and we actually got married right here. May 2nd, 1998. It was an important part of our lives. We moved away from the Lower Mainland to Ontario for 10 years, from 2000 to 2010. But when we returned, with three kids, right back to Calvary. Calvary's been a really important part of our lives, and I don't mean the building, I mean the people. I mean the family of God that have called this church home. It's been so important to us for a long, long time. And it is really a pleasure to be able to share with you this morning. There will be a photo up on the screen showing our children. We have four children. So I've been a dad for a little over 18 years. And I've been blessed with a son and three daughters. And it's just every day is a new adventure with them. And I love it. I love it so much. There are so many ways that we would describe our dads. And I'm sure that my family would come up with a host of different ways of describing me, and some I might like and some I may not like so much. But I just want to say that I love being a father. I believe it is one of the core callings that God has placed on my life, one of the reasons that I was born. The complete joy that I find in fatherhood tells me that it is one of the most important things that God's asked me to do on this earth, is to be a father. What comes as a surprise to me from time to time is how, although I've been a father for many years, obviously been hanging out with these four kids for their whole lives, I look at them some days and I truly know that I love them more on that day than I have any day prior. How does that love continue to grow when it's been happening for so long, when you've been with them for so long? But it does. I think it's just a beautiful thing. I can't explain it. I just love it. Instagram and Facebook are excellent at reminding us about our history. They, 2 years ago to the day, or here's all your camping photos, or whatever the case may be. And so they pop up on our phone and they're kind of forced into our lives, little reminders of experiences and moments that we've shared with our family, with our children. And those memories wash over you, and for me, they just make me smile and think about all those great times that I took the effort to actually capture it in a photo. But if I look back over time, I also am reminded of a lot of missteps, a lot of mistakes, times that I would 100% want to redo if I could. But even in those humbling moments, they serve a purpose. They remind me of how I need to act as a father, someone who encourages, someone who supports, but also one to recognize that mistakes will be made and forgiveness and healing are part of the journey. So on this day, we've selected and put on our calendars to honor fathers or celebrate them or father figures in our lives. I want to take this opportunity to spend our time together this morning to look at the attributes of our Heavenly Father. This message isn't just for fathers. It isn't just for father figures. It's not just even for parents alone. This is for all of us. I'm going to use the kind of concept of Father's Day, but please hear me. If you aren't a father or a father figure in this room, this message is for you. I am a strong believer that understanding the attributes of our Heavenly Father will guide us to live a life that is godly and pleasing to Him. We recognize that God has three distinct parts. Just like an egg that has a shell and a yolk and a white, God consists of God the Father, His Son Jesus, and Holy Spirit. Often our viewpoint of God the Father is fashioned after what we read in the Old Testament, where God the Father is all about righteousness, all about judgment, all about commandments. This gives us a perspective that God is looking down on us from on high and judging us for our decisions. He can be seen as a God of wrath and punishment. And this model might influence your perspective on God the Father to this very day. Jesus, on the other hand, He's not judging us from on high. Quite the opposite, He literally walked among us. He was a healer. He was a teacher. He was a miracle worker. He's the one who could so masterfully take biblical concepts and tell us a story to explain it to us by discussing how fruit would grow or our relationship with our friends, neighbors, and enemies. He fed hungry people. He raised people from the dead. He is love. He came not to lay judgment upon us, but to show us that He understands our hurts, our pains, our fears, and that He was the sacrifice to die and provide a payment for our sins. He took the punishment so we didn't have to. Holy Spirit is our ever-present support. He is with us to empower us, to encourage us, to fill us, and provide us with the attributes to live a life of godly influence every day. He's here to fill us up so we have coming out of us, like fruit growing, love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Some might describe Holy Spirit as our Christian conscience. I've been moved to tears by the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. He has met me while I was standing right there in that row and surrounded me with so much love that I couldn't do anything but cry. He's changed my life. He's with me every step of every day. So this brings us back to God the Father. How do you see Him? How have you experienced Him? What is your perspective on God the Father? How has your experience with your earthly father influenced your perspective on your heavenly father? Let me just share briefly about my father, Ed Hansen. There'll be a picture up on the screen showing a photo of him and I one day when we decided to dig a hole and plant a tree. You can see the tree behind us over our shoulders. It was a beautiful day. It was a great day to dig a hole, and who doesn't love digging a hole? And so we got to do that together. We planted a tree. The tree is still there. It's a beautiful tree in our yard. Today is a memorable day for me. It's like for Father's Day for me because this is the first Father's Day without my dad. Some of you will know that he passed away last July quite suddenly, and it was a big loss for our family. Papa, as we lovingly called him, was close with all of us, with my family, with my sister's family. As I described, Amanda and I moved away from BC in 2000. We moved back in 2010. And when we did, from that day on August 1st, 2010, until the day he passed away, we lived under the same roof. The first 18 months after we moved back, we lived with him in his house. Then he sold that house, we bought a house, and he moved in with us. He was a quiet leader in my life, not an outspoken man, not someone who would ever talk your ear off with whatever was happening in his life. But if you asked for his opinion, or if you wanted some advice, he would gladly offer some of his fatherly wisdom. He was a hardworking, blue-collar construction worker in his first career. And then he was part of an administrative team with my mom as they operated residential group homes as his second career. He was kind and gentle. I wanted to share all of this with you today to set the context a little bit for what my fatherly experience was growing up and well into my adult life. My dad was present, involved, and amazing. That was my earthly father role model. I spoke earlier about our perspective of God the Father and how it can sometimes be centered around his judgment or righteous indignation. There are multiple examples in the Bible where he dealt harshly with individuals or with the nation of Israel as a whole. The word smite or smote, which are just fun to say on their own, but they're used over 200 times in the Bible to describe God punishing people. These are striking examples, so it would be understandable if that's why we remember the Old Testament and that version of God the Father. And that can influence our thinking. I want to read the last two verses of the Old Testament. It's from Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else, I will come and strike the land with total destruction." Or else, that is a very parental phrase to use. Within the same breath, we read about the hearts of families being turned together to one another, unity, togetherness, love. And then we see the flip side of the coin where God the Father describes the alternative. And it's harsh. When I think about this in the context of being a father or a parent in general, I model this same behavior. What parent can't recognize that there are moments in your life where you have to provide negative consequences to the behaviors of our children? Who hasn't removed privileges? Who hasn't put a child in a timeout so they could think about their activities or their actions and what was not right about them? Who hasn't said no to something that a child wanted because we didn't feel that it was right? The truth is that if we take snapshots of time, we deal out judgment, and it isn't all good times and butterflies with our children. And just like these circumstances of having to dole out discipline, those circumstances don't encompass the entirety of our relationship with our children. It also doesn't define or fully describe the nature of God the Father. Let's talk about some of his other defining characteristics. Firstly, and I would say above all else, God the Father is a loving Father. The Bible is filled with an abundance of scriptures to demonstrate this truth, and we're going to go through some of them together. John chapter 3, 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." These two verses not only speak about the love of God, God the Father, but also points out that condemnation wasn't the goal. That wasn't the end game here. Salvation was. Let's look at some more. 1 John chapter 3, first part of verse 1. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. 1 John chapter 4, 14, 15, and 16. "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them." Let's read together what Jesus himself says describing the love of the Father from John chapter 17, 22 and 23. "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." We need to recognize that God the Father is above all else a Father of love. He protects, he provides, he encourages. He corrects, he disciplines, he supports, and all of those things point to his love. This is what we as fathers, as mothers, we need to strive for. We need to love our children, and that means fully recognizing that the moments of correction are just as important as the moments of tender hugs. The times that we have to challenge them are as much a part of loving them as sharing a special experience together. God the Father is a creating Father. He's a maker. The term maker is a little bit of a new term, I believe. It's something that I just became familiar with maybe over the last, 10 years. Historically, maybe we would have used terms like artist or artisans to describe people who had similar characteristics. There's an entire YouTube community of makers. It's a collection of people who just love to make stuff. And they build video content around watching, so people can watch them do these things. And it's super entertaining. For me, anyway. Hopefully you could find some of that kind of stuff entertaining as well. They just make stuff, practical stuff for their homes. They might make vehicles. They might make fun things like axes or knives. Some of my earliest days watching YouTube was focused on watching knife making. Let me explain a little bit. My bachelor's degree is in engineering, and specifically metallurgical engineering. I studied how materials are made, what gives them their properties, how you can modify those properties. And one interesting aspect of steel is that you can change its properties by heating it up and then cooling it very quickly. It's called quenching. I'm sure most of us have heard of that before. There are things happening at a microscopic grain level with inside of that steel that's creating the strength. As you heat it up, there are chemical constituents within the steel that are allowed to go into solution. They're allowed to start moving around within the grain structure. But when you quench it, they freeze, they lock up. And where those things freeze within the grain structure makes it stronger. It helps it to prevent cracks from propagating through the grains. But there's a trade-off, as there is with everything in life. It gets stronger, but it also gets more brittle. So you have to balance the competing properties of the material. Very important for something like knives, because as you can imagine, you want it to be strong, because you keep a sharp edge for a long time. That's a characteristic we want. But we also can't have something that's so brittle that if you just have a slight impact that it breaks. So we're always trying to figure out how to get the strengths and minimize the weaknesses. So when I discovered this world of makers on YouTube, and they were using some rudimentary tools and supplies to make some beautiful knives, I was very intrigued. They were using things like hacksaws and drills, toaster ovens, pails of oil, palm sanders, angle grinders, belt sanders, and they were making beautiful and functional knives. I was super interested in that. I love the aspect of making practical and beautiful things. Super interesting to me. Now, my father was a carpenter by trade. He specifically apprenticed as a furniture maker in Denmark. And then when he moved to Canada, he began working as a carpenter on residential and commercial projects. In his retirement years, he moved into using a lathe to build tools and build toys and build vases and build pepper mills. He would just do anything he could with a lathe to make stuff. He loved that. Interesting fact about my dad is, contrary to most people, he was quite happy when there was a major windstorm in the Lower Mainland. Although it meant likely we wouldn't have power for a day or more, it meant he could drive around with his chainsaw and people would happily allow him to cut up trees that had fallen on their yard and take them away for free. The only problem was that he hated waiting for the wood to dry out enough so that he could use it properly. That form of patience wasn't his strength. But I loved walking into his shop because it always smelled of wood. The shavings on the floor, the dust on every surface, it looked and smelled beautiful to me. It was the smell of something being created, and I expect that that will be a comforting smell for me for all of my days. Can we even begin to fathom the complexity and diversity of the world that God the Father has created for us to live in? The answer is no, we can't. I just described one aspect of metallurgy, one minute aspect of metallurgy. There are professionals who have and in the future will continue to spend their entire professional career trying to understand and study the modification of the properties of steel through thermal cycling. And that is just the smallest detail in his creation. We just can't understand. If you ever wonder why a God who is wonderful and powerful and capable of creating such incredible things would be interested in you, it's because he created you too. Let's read from Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When you watch something being created, you observe the attention to detail of the maker, the dedicated attention, the focus, the commitment. This is a representation of the care and commitment that they have to their creation. Just as God created and loves us, so we should our own children. God the Father is a forgiving Father. God the Father as a judge is something we've already discussed, but it is critical for us to also understand and acknowledge the side of our Heavenly Father that knows we have done wrong, and he chooses to forgive us. One of the most powerful and defining decisions anyone can make. In Psalm chapter 103, verses 12 and 13, David declares, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." I remember a time when I was in the earliest days of my grass cutting career. We lived in a home just over behind Save On Foods on 152nd and Fraser Highway. And one of my jobs around the house was to cut the grass, and I would estimate I was about grade 7-ish years old. I don't recall all the specifics, which my beautiful wife Amanda would say is really hasn't changed much since then. But as the story goes, we had family friends from Prince George that were going on a vacation. They had to fly out of Vancouver, so they drove down, parked their car in our driveway. We took them to the airport. We're going to pick them up, and then they would drive back to Prince George after their holidays. Let's talk a little bit about the construction of a lawnmower. Often the handle on a lawnmower comes in two pieces. I assume it's because it's cheaper to make and easier to ship, that they can pack it down smaller. But it's two pieces. Usually right in the middle, there's a bolt on either side that connects those two pieces together. That bolt or that bolt has a nut on it, but usually it's not just a nut like you'd need to use a tool. Usually there's some sort of a plastic handle on it so that it's easy to, with your hands, just to loosen it, fold the handle down, and you can store it a little bit more easily. I know I've done that sometimes myself. The problem, and at the heart of the story from my experience on this day in question, was that ours didn't have that plastic handle on it anymore. I don't know what happened. I don't remember the details. But I assume my dad fixed it at some point. He just put a bolt through it, threw a nut on it. We didn't fold it over very often, so it didn't matter that it didn't have that nice plastic handle on it. To cut to the chase, it's a little lawnmower humor for you there. It's Father's Day. You didn't think you were going to get off without a pun in there at some point, did you? I was doing an excellent job of cutting the grass right beside the driveway. Very proud of myself. What I wasn't doing an excellent job of is noticing that I was pushing that bolt into the side of their car as I was walking along. So sure enough, long scratch all the way down their car. I was a bit scared. Not only about what my family friends would say. Of course, you know, you look up to your parents' friends. They're kind of scary sometimes. But I was afraid of what my dad would say. 1,000 bad ideas will run through your mind in a situation like that. So after considering all my options, which likely included making a run for the border, I decided that the best one was not to say anything to anyone and hope that they didn't notice until they got home. And by home, I mean Prince George. In hindsight, I recognized that this wasn't the best way to handle the situation, but like I said, I was grade 7-ish. Of course they noticed. Of course my dad noticed that before they even got home, and they figured out what had happened. Conversations were had, tears were shed, and then my dad looked at me and explained that he understood it was an accident. However, that sometimes things happen we don't intend, we still need to speak up and take accountability for it. And then he said that he forgave me, and it was like a weight was lifted. I still had some punishment, some penance to pay. I think I had to contribute some money to the repairs. But at least I knew that my parents forgave me, and I didn't have to move to Blaine. So it was a pretty good feeling. The last story I want to share with you today is when I had the opportunity to extend forgiveness to my dad. As I mentioned earlier, we lived in the same house for many years. And so we were often in his apartment, or he was often on our side of the house doing whatever. And between our two places was our laundry room. So it became the point where if we wanted to leave something for him without running over to see him, we would just leave it in the laundry room because it was always the place he would pass through. So our mail, for instance, we would gather our mail, we'd leave his mail there if we weren't heading straight over to see him, and then he would pick it up at some point. One day I was over at his place and he says, James, I need to tell you something. And he proceeds to explain that he saw a piece of mail with my name on it, and he had noticed it had sat there for a little while. So he was concerned it might be a bill or something that needed attention immediately. And he decided to open it and see what it was. Well, his conscience took over, and he was quite upset with himself that he had done that. So he needed to confess it to me and tell me that he was very sorry. The truth was that based on our relationship, my dad could have opened any piece of mail with my name on. I really had nothing to hide from him, so it wasn't a huge sting against me. But I understood where he was coming from and why he was feeling the way that he was feeling. So I let him know that it was okay with me. I understood that the way he was feeling, and I let him know that it totally forgave him and it was not going to be a point of friction between us at all. I could still see him wearing a little bit the embarrassment of the situation and the decision he had made, but he was also very relieved that there was no friction between us. You see, he had modeled forgiveness to me all the years he had fathered me, and I had the opportunity to extend some of that forgiveness back to him. And that is the power of forgiveness. That is what God the Father has modeled for every single one of us. In the Old Testament, when we read about his judgments, we also read about his forgiveness. We read about how he wants to restore relationship with his people. He sends prophets to be his spokespeople so that they could tell his children that they need to follow him or how they can mend their relationships. He has extended his forgiveness to them, to us, again and again. Let's read Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. After all the events captured in Old Testament, God the Father decides to put into place the ultimate path to forgiveness for his people. He sends his only son to be the atonement, to be the sacrifice, to pay for our sins, so that we can have eternal life with him in heaven. I've really enjoyed being able to share this message with all of you this morning. I want to say thank you to Pastor Steve for the opportunity and the invitation. As we celebrate Father's Day 2024, I want you to remember only three things of what I shared with you. Lock them away in your heart and in your mind. God the Father forgives you. God the Father created you. And God the Father loves you. Thank you.